Picture 95 million Americans, nearly half the country, glued to their television screens, watching a white Ford Bronco crawl along Los Angeles freeways at 35 miles per hour. It's June 17th, 1994, and this isn't a movie. It's O.J. Simpson, football legend and beloved celebrity, fleeing from police after being charged with murdering his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend Ronald Goldman. What should have been a straightforward homicide case became something far more explosive, a trial that ripped open America's unhealed wounds around race, celebrity, and justice. The case divided living rooms, fractured friendships, and forced uncomfortable conversations about what we're willing to believe and why. More than a legal proceeding, this became a national mirror, reflecting back truths many Americans didn't want to see. The crime scene outside Nicole's Brentwood condominium on June 12, 1994 was horrific. Nicole's throat had been slashed so deeply her head was nearly severed. Ronald Goldman's body bore multiple stab wounds, evidence of a desperate, losing battle. A white Akita with blood-soaked paws led neighbors to the bodies shortly after midnight. Inside, Nicole's two young children slept upstairs, unaware. When detectives arrived at Simpson's Rockingham estate to notify him, they discovered a white Ford Bronco haphazardly parked with apparent bloodstains. Detective Mark Furman scaled the wall and found a leather glove matching one at the murder scene. Blood drops led from the Bronco throughout the foyer. Simpson had a fresh cut on his hand and no alibi. The physical evidence was damning. His blood at the crime scene, Nicole's blood on his sock, Goldman's blood in his Bronco. What began as a death notification became a murder investigation, one that would expose how differently Americans view the same facts depending on the color of their skin. O.J. Simpson embodied a distinctly American celebrity, famous not for business acumen or continued achievement, but simply for being O.J. The USC football legend and first NFL player to rush 2,000 yards in a season had transformed his athletic success into corporate appearances, cultivating a non-threatening charm that made him palatable to white America. Behind this facade lurked a disturbing reality. In 1989, Simpson pleaded no contest to beating Nicole after she made a desperate 911 call. He received extraordinary leniency. Private counseling instead of group sessions, self-designed community service, even phone counseling after relocating to New York. His dismissal was chilling. We had a fight. We were both guilty. No one was hurt. It was no big deal. Nicole's terror told a different story. She'd called 911 repeatedly, told friends OJ would eventually kill her, and placed photographs of her battered face in a safe deposit box, a roadmap, prosecutors argued, pointing to her killer. The central question emerged: which OJ was real, the beloved football hero or the jealous abuser capable of murder? Prosecutor Marcia Clark was certain of Simpson's guilt. The physical evidence was overwhelming. Blood at the murder scene matched Simpson's rare blood type, 0.43% of the population, with DNA tests making the match definitive. Simpson had motive, means, opportunity, and no alibi. But Simpson's dream team, Robert Shapiro, F. Lee Bailey, and especially Johnny Cochran, understood they couldn't win on facts alone. Instead, they'd put the LAPD on trial, shifting the narrative from "Did OJ do it?" to "Can you trust a racist police force?" They filed motion after motion, creating a drumbeat of accusations that reached potential jurors through relentless media coverage. The strategy found fertile ground. Los Angeles was still reeling from the Rodney King beating and subsequent riots. When Time magazine darkened Simpson's mugshot, civil rights leaders erupted. During the Bronco chase, hundreds lined overpasses in minority neighborhoods with supportive signs. Before the trial even started, America was splitting along racial lines over what the case meant. Judge Lance Ito's decision to allow cameras transformed the trial into unprecedented must-see TV, with millions rearranging schedules and law schools seeing surging applications. Prosecutor Christopher Darden delivered a powerful summation using a burning fuse metaphor for the Simpson marriage, recounting each abuse incident. The prosecution played Nicole's haunting 1993 911 call, her voice pleading, "He's back, please, could you just send somebody over here?" The recording captured 13 minutes of unrelenting rage, Simpson screaming accusations about her infidelity. The courtroom fell silent. The defense had devastating moments, too. When Darden had Simpson try on the murder gloves, Simpson struggled dramatically, thumb bent outward, grimacing too tight to the jury. Despite wearing latex gloves underneath and the originals having shrunk from blood exposure, the image became indelible. Cochran later immortalized it. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Then came the Furman tapes. Detective Mark Furman had testified he hadn't used racial slurs in 10 years. The defense produced recordings of him saying the N-word 41 times, bragging about planting evidence and describing brutal treatment of suspects. Furman transformed from key witness into the embodiment of police corruption. By closing arguments, Johnny Cochran had transformed the trial into a civil rights referendum. At the Soul Train Awards, he received a standing ovation and chance of free OJ. He positioned the case alongside Brown v. Board of Education, urging jurors to send a message to the LAPD about racism. Deliberations began October 2, 1995. After 9 months of testimony, the jury deliberated less than 4 hours. The first ballot showed 10 for acquittal, 2 for conviction. They quickly reached unanimous not guilty verdicts. Reactions split along racial lines. Black spaces erupted in celebration. White spaces fell into stunned silence. Kim Goldman collapsed sobbing. In the lounge, one juror broke the silence. "We've got to protect our own." Jurors later insisted they simply found reasonable doubt, but their cursory review and that unguarded comment revealed something deeper. This verdict transcended Simpson. It was about centuries of denied justice, about Rodney King's attackers walking free, about unpunished police brutality. The jury didn't just acquit Simpson, they delivered a message about whose pain matters and whose justice counts. The Simpson trial's grip on America wasn't about celebrity or violence. It was about fractured reality. The same evidence led to opposite conclusions based on divergent experiences with power and justice. White Americans saw overwhelming physical evidence and clear motive. The defense's conspiracy theory seemed absurd. Black Americans saw a police department with documented racism, a detective who bragged about planting evidence, and a system that had never offered them benefit of the doubt. Both perspectives held truth. The evidence was overwhelming. The LAPD's record was abysmal. Americans couldn't hold both truths simultaneously, retreating to opposing corners while dismissing the other side as blind. The trial didn't create America's racial divide. It made it unavoidable. It exposed parallel Americas with different histories, different relationships to authority, and different thresholds for reasonable doubt. 2 decades later, we're still debating police credibility, systemic racism, and whose stories deserve belief. The white Bronco stopped on June 17, 1994, but the questions it raised continue chasing us.